Today's scripture reading is from Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again, church. I want to welcome you again to worship this morning, and because I didn't really say it earlier, my name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First Church for another year. So I'm really glad that you're, no, I'm not looking for applause. just glad in my heart. And I'm glad you're joining us today for worship as we take this hour to start our week, whatever our week is going to hold, whatever is before you. We start our week by resetting our souls, by reorienting our hearts toward God, putting ourselves in this position to have our cup filled up so that we can begin the week centered on the God who is love and who is making all things new, in spite of what you read in the headlines, right? I guess you could say that this is a time when we pay attention to a different set of headlines, and we interpret the other ones in light of these. So I'm glad that you're here for this time today. Today we are wrapping up our summer series called Chosen Family. And we've spent the better part of 2 months looking at all of the ways that we find to meet our need for connection, the friendships and the relationships that ground us, that the ways that we navigate the ins and outs of those, who we choose, and how we get through the tricky parts of those relationships. But all along, there has been sort of this elephant in the room, and that is that even when it comes to our chosen family, sometimes we just don't get the choice, right? Sometimes things don't go our way. And that can happen in 1,000 different ways. Sometimes we keep looking for ways to make friends, putting ourselves out there, and we keep coming up empty and discouraged and lonely. Sometimes the boyfriend or girlfriend or partner or spouse that we chose and cherish decides they no longer want to choose and cherish us. Sometimes the child that we long for and try for simply cannot be conceived. Sometimes the choice is just taken away from us. It happened to people all throughout the stories of the Bible. We watch, when we catch those stories in little glimpses of Hannah praying in the temple, pleading to God for the child that she so longed to have, of Joseph in prison, framed by his boss Potiphar's wife, of Ruth finding herself newly widowed, but in a strange land, far from the support of her own family. Stories that reveal that it is not just us. This is a part of every life. Sometimes we just don't get to choose who will make up our chosen families and how our lives will go. In these moments when we feel that pain most acutely, I recommend 2 things. First, zoom in, and then zoom out. First, zoom in to the most important things, the anchor points. The things that you know without a doubt, the promises that have carried you through other tough times in your life. This is not the time in that pain to sort through the finer points of your theology, okay? This is the time to hold on to whatever is steady enough to hold. But I want to be careful with that, because the truth is that not all promises are equal. And these times of struggle and of loss in our lives, they are often ripe for the really unhelpful half-truths that are notoriously thrown around by Christian people. Things like, God will never give you more than you can handle, or everything happens for a reason. These words, they feel like they're going to be helpful, but they are really more like Band-Aids that are laced with salt or with poison. They reinforce poor theology, like an image of a God who doles out trials just to see what you're going to do, or a God who brings us to the brink just for sport. If you want to see a catalog of unhelpful things to say to your suffering friends, simply read the book of Job. I promise, 90% of the things that Job's friends say to help him explain his suffering read like a book of what not to say. It's terrible. So you have to be careful what promises you hang on to. But in these moments, I really recommend that you zoom in on what you know most to be true. Zoom in on the promises that have held up for the storms in your life. Zoom in on truths that have been refined in other fires, whether that's in your life or in somebody else's. I find the most important of those truths to be most clearly expressed in this 8th chapter of Romans. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the members of the church in Rome. These are both Jewish and non-Jewish Christians who they were subject to persecution and rejection in their own communities. Some of them had been exiled from Rome, even though they had, for generations, they had been welcomed to Rome and lived there. They were singled out by the emperor himself. They were plucked out of their lives and their livelihoods, and they were sent away to a strange place that they did not know. Gosh, does any of this sound familiar? And then when they were able to return, because there was a new emperor, they still found new struggles and new persecutions among the communities that didn't necessarily welcome them back. So suffice it to say, these are followers of Christ, lovers of God, who had real intimate knowledge of this list of dangers and hostilities that Paul gives us. He asks, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The people that he's writing to, they know intimately the stories of peril and persecution. We may not have firsthand knowledge and experience with the same afflictions. We may not feel the threat of the sword, I hope, or of famine. But Paul assures us that whatever it is that we face, the promise remains the same. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. Nothing can separate you. In Christ, you are never alone, never apart from the love of God. Even when your choice has been ripped away, when everything and everyone that you would have chosen seems to have abandoned you, you can stand on the promise that God has always and will always choose you, to stand with you, to weep with you, to love you, to never abandon you. Zoom in and hold on to that anchor. And then zoom out. What I mean by that is take a few steps back from the situation that you're in. Get your wide-angle lens out and where you can see the bigger picture, where you can see that your whole life is not going to be determined by this one relationship, by this one job, by this one opportunity. Revisit the stories of Scripture or the stories of your own life where God again and again brings blessing out of terrible circumstances. Now again, God does not make terrible things happen. Hear me, please. But when those things do happen, and they will, God is still there. God is still working in the hidden places. God is still kindling life in the midst of death somewhere. As we have been celebrating Becca Edwards and her ordination this summer, I'm reminded of how I have seen that truth play out in marvelous ways in her life. 8 years ago or so, Becca was a college professor who was studying and teaching in the fields of climate science and engineering. And she was happily attending another Methodist church with her husband Ryan and their children. But when the General Conference of 2019 tried to close and lock all doors for LGBTQ+ people to be married and to serve as ordained leaders in the church, Becca found herself drawn to do something. She became active in a movement of those who were just determined to ensure that their church would be a place where all are welcome, where their lives and their loves and their leadership would be embraced. In that dumpster fire of a situation in 2019 that so many of us remember all too well, Becca dug around and she found the place where God was at work. And she stepped in further. Soon she emerged as a leader. And others were recognizing her gifts and they were naming those to her. And so she could see clearly that a call was emerging in her life. Slowly she became ready to turn from college professor at the front of the classroom to seminary student sitting in the desk. But then she hit a hard wall when leaders in her church were determined to block her candidacy for ministry, to prevent her from pursuing ordination because of her pro-LGBTQ stance. All of this, of course, played out in the midst of a pandemic. It was then, in this bewildering swirl of a clear call from God mixed with rejection from a few church leaders, that Becca and I found ourselves in the middle of a thunderstorm on the only tiny section of my front porch that is covered by the roof, sitting, of course, 6 feet apart with our COVID masks in our hands early one Friday morning. We had met once before, just by chance, really on an airplane. But we reconnected when Pastor Kathy was assigned to be Becca's mentor in that first step of the candidacy process. It was there on the porch, in the midst of both a literal storm and a figurative storm, that we opened ourselves to the possibility that Becca and the Edwards family might become a part of this family, that a new chosen family might emerge. And the rest, as they say, is history. Or it's God's story. God's story of bringing new life out of the ash heap. It's in stories like Becca's that I am grounded in the deep reminders that I need. That God is with us, and in every situation, God is working for good. The reminder that the hardest thing is never the last thing. The reminder that God is far more determined and far more imaginative than I usually give God credit for. So in the midst of every turn in your life, whether you choose it or not, let those promises of the past anchor your hope for the future. Zoom in and remember that first and foremost, God is always choosing you. And then zoom out and be open to the story that God has just begun to write with you. Amen. Amen. Amen.